Hi, podcast listeners. This is another chapter in the ongoing serialization of Fates vs. Death Sunrise Hotel, a full-length novel that takes place in the Fates vs. Death universe. We'll be doing one chapter every other week, free on the podcast, or if you want to listen to or read the whole thing now, you can go to www.fatesvsdeath.com and buy the complete novel. When you buy the paper version of the novel, you'll get access to the complete audiobook that you can download in MP3 format. Fates vs. Death Sunrise Hotel contains some pretty heavy subject matter, including some sexual violence, so these podcasts are intended for mature listeners only. Fates vs. Death Sunrise Hotel, a novel by Brian St. Clair King. This story takes place in the world of Fates vs. Death, the role-playing game. Four days after. Tina had a bad hangover the next morning. Scrap let her borrow his sunglasses. They went to the same place to eat breakfast. The injury on her ankle only hurt a little when she walked, and didn't start seeping blood. Scrap wanted to talk. Tina didn't feel like it. Tina ordered a big stack of pancakes, which she couldn't even eat a quarter of. She had the waiter put the rest in a little styrofoam box for her. She folded her arms on the table and put her head on them while she waited for Scrap to finish eating. "Will you buy me something?" she asked, not lifting her head. "Like what?" he asked warily. "I don't know, just anything. I like it when guys buy me stuff. What would you want to buy me?"
"I don't know, maybe something to defend yourself, like a pepper spray or something?"
"I use knives," she said.
"Well, you already have one of those, don't you?"
"I have a whole shitload of knives. How about pants? It's too cold out for these thin things." She motioned to her uniform pants with the gray stripe. They went back to his apartment. Tina took a shower while he looked up clothing stores on the internet. They had quick sex and then walked down to the Upper West Side. They walked down Central Park West. To their right was a chain-link fence topped with barbed wire and plastered with signs that read, "Warning, radiation hazard." On the other side there were weeds grown waist-high, and beyond that, trees. They came to a small shopping mall overlooking the park. Inside, Tina was surprised to see a working escalator, something she hadn't seen since she left home. Tucked into a corner of the mall was a trendy clothing shop. A handful of young indies were there browsing. One attractive young woman, with her hair in fluorescent orange ringlets and round glasses, was searching through a rack of skirts, talking on a wireless headset attached to her ear about various alliances that leaders of various gangs could make with each other, and what would be the strategic advantages and disadvantages of each. Tina couldn't decide between black leather and black denim pants, and Scrap refused to give his opinion except to say that they both looked good on her. Tina ended up deciding on the denim pants because it seemed like it would be hard to run in the leather pants. The pants cost $25. Scrap paid in cash and they left the store. He told her he had to go to work at 4. She asked him to take the day off work, but he said he couldn't. She asked if he would be at the bar later.
"I don't know," he said. "I don't really feel like going to the bar tonight."
"Well, what do you want to do?"
"I don't know. Give me a call later."
He gave her his phone address. She asked for change to make the call, and he gave her some. Tina went back to the hotel. Manny and Joe were there, hanging out and smoking cigarettes. "What are you guys doing here?" Tina asked, realizing too late that her voice was bossier than she would have liked.
"I'm sick," Joe said. "Got some kind of flu or something."
Tina hung around with them for a while. She talked Manny into sparring with her. They punched each other playfully as Joe watched. Then someone knocked loudly on the door. Tina got out her knife. "Who's there?"
"Manager."
"What do you want?"
"Open the door."
Tina opened the door a bit and poked her head out, looking at him. He was still panting from the effort of coming up the stairs. His face was even more red than usual, and he was scowling.
"You're late on your rent. It was due yesterday. You owe $85 plus a $10 late charge. If I don't have the payment in my Dropbox by the time I come in tomorrow morning, I'm going to evict you."
"What the fuck?" Tina demanded angrily. "You didn't even give us a fucking warning." He laughed a bitter laugh.
"You've been paying the rent every week for as long as you've been here. And if you ever use that language with me again, young lady, I'm going to call the cops and tell them I got a bunch of underage runaways living here."
"The cops don't give a fuck," Manny laughed from inside. The manager eyed Tina with his bulging eyes.
6 a.m. tomorrow, or you're out of here."
After Tina had slammed the door, she turned to Manny and Joe. Oh, shit," she cried. "Maricel had all our rent money." Tina dug through her pockets. Out of the money she had made in the red light district, she had spent most of it buying food and cigarettes and alcohol for herself and her roommates, as well as the Durate blood poison subscription. She only had $4 left, if she included the change Scrap had given her for phone calls. Manny and Joe had $8.
"Where's Tabitha?" Tina demanded. "I think she was going to Thompson Square Park," Joe said.
"Well, let's go get her," she said to Manny. "See if she has any money." Manny and Tina went to Thompson Square Park. They found Tabitha sitting around with a group of scruffy-looking gutter punks.
They were all quite drunk and lounging around on some old dirty blankets on the edge of a dry fountain that was covered in graffiti.
The rent is due, Tina said. Today! They're charging us $10 late fee because we didn't pay it yesterday. You got any money?
I already gave my share of the rent money to Marisol,
Tabitha slurred angrily.
Yeah, but Marisol's gone and the money has gone with her. We gotta pay or we're gonna get kicked out. Don't you have anything?
Tabitha stuck her hands in her pockets.
No, nothing.
Well, get off your ass. We gotta make some money tonight. We gotta make like $80 tonight.
Don't tell me what to do, Tabitha said angrily.
Damn it, Tabitha, Tina said. We're gonna get thrown out of the hotel. Now come with us.
One of the gutter punks got up. He had a pierced septum with a piece of wood stuck through it, sharpened to points on either side. He wore an old faded denim jacket, brown with dust and bearing a cross hatch pattern painted on with blood. When he stood, he was big, standing at least a foot taller than Tina or Manny.
Don't tell her what to do.
Mind your own business, Tina said. Who the fuck are you? Do you live in our hotel room?
I'm her friend, he slurred.
What, don't you even know her name? Tina demanded. He looked towards Tabitha, unsure. Then stay the fuck out of this!
She went over to Tabitha, grabbed her jacket, and tried to haul her up onto her feet.
Let go of me! Whined Tabitha.
The gutter punk put a big hand on Tina's shoulder and said,
Stop that!
Tina lashed out with her elbow, knocking the man's hand away.
Don't touch me! Don't you fucking touch me, or I'll fucking kill you! I swear to God!
She turned around to glare at him threateningly. He pushed her hard. Tina stumbled backwards and fell back onto the weeds and dirt of the park. In a second, he was on top of her, his knees on her chest and thighs, his hands holding her wrists. She struggled, but he was much heavier and much stronger than she was.
Get off me! She screamed. I'll kill you! I'll kill you! Manny, help me!
Enough already, Tabitha said, getting up. I'll go with you. Stop being a fucking psycho. You can get off her, Pierre.
The large gutter punk got off Tina slowly. Tina scrambled to her feet, pulling a knife.
I told you, if you touch me, I'd kill you! She hissed at the gutter punk, brandishing the knife.
She was embarrassed and her face felt hot.
Tina, Tina, Manny said in a soothing tone, taking hold of Tina's jacket. It's over. Let's get out of here.
Tina screamed at the gutter punk as they left, calling him every name she could think of. She was still fuming and refused to look at Tabitha as they walked. They went to Broadway in Midtown, hoping to panhandle from any tourists who might be wandering around looking at the tall buildings. The three of them wandered around on different sides of the street, asking anyone and everyone for change. Tina lost track of Manny and didn't see him for half an hour. When she found him, he was pressed up against a wall, making out with some guy. Tabitha said she was tired and was going to panhandle sitting down. Tina said she'd be back and walked up to the red light district. A group of teenage boys came by asking for blowjobs. They were acting jittery, and Tina guessed they were high on Godkiller. She knew young men like that, teen boys who ran around in little packs, making money by mugging people or smashing down people's doors and robbing them. Most of the money went to drugs, and some of it went to prostitutes. Tina knew that they wouldn't be very safe guys to deal with, but they were willing to go into a little alley to do it. It wasn't far from where there were people, so Tina felt safer. She went with them, and she made sure to stand right near the corner of the alley so they couldn't surround her there and trap her. She kept one hand on the handle of her knife, just in case. The whole thing happened without incident, and she got $20. Tina went back and checked on Tabitha, who was asleep on the sidewalk. Tina woke her up. Tabitha checked clumsily in her pockets, making sure the money she had was still there.
It's okay, Tabitha said. I still have my money.
How much did you get?
$2.
$2? Tina demanded angrily. What the fuck?
Dude, get me some coffee.
Me? Tina asked incredulously. First off, we're out here to make money, not spend it. Second off, why the fuck should I get you coffee? I've been out making money. You've been sleeping.
Come on, Tina, Tabitha whined. I haven't slept in I don't know how long. I'm not going to make it if you don't get me some coffee.
You suck,
said Tina, and stomped off to go find some coffee for Tabitha. Tina walked into a little grocery store. She walked past the spotty old produce in the front, past the claustrophobically close shelves of dusty boxes and cans of food, to the back where the refrigerated cases were. Opening one of the doors, she grabbed a bottle of diamond soda, which she knew had a lot of caffeine in it. She stuffed it in her jacket and walked back towards the exit.
Hey,
said the guy at the counter, an old black guy, with hunched-up shoulders.
Are you going to pay for that?
No, Tina said. He pressed a button behind the counter and the riot gate over the storefront started to roll down, quickly, making loud clanging noises. Tina ducked under it and pushed her way out of the store. She took off running, her sprained ankle hurting a bit as she ran, and escaped around a corner. When she got back, Tabitha was around a corner, retching. Tina waited till she was done and handed her the soda.
This is cold, Tabitha whined. I wanted something hot.
Look, drink it or don't. I don't care. I'm going to go make some real money.
Tina went back to the red light district and waited. She wasn't waiting long before someone approached her. He was in his 30s, white, had on a black suit and tie, had his hair neatly combed backwards, and was smoking a triangular black cigarette. His face was long and narrow, chin and nose pointy, and he had a receding hairline. He walked with an air of self-confidence. He smiled amusedly at Tina, who smiled back.
Hey there, he said as he got closer.
Before Tina could answer, an angry female voice from behind her interrupted.
Keep walking!
the voice ordered. Tina turned her head, surprised to see a woman standing near the entrance to one of the buildings. She was mostly black, tall and muscular, wearing thigh-high black leather boots with high heels. She had on a black miniskirt and a turquoise-blue halter top that pushed up and exposed the top of her breasts. On her chest, the point dipping down into her cleavage, was a blood-red triangle tattoo, showing four symbols that meant nothing to Tina, three in the corners and one large symbol in the center. She had bright red lipstick and turquoise eyeshadow. "Get out of here," she snarled contemptuously, glaring at the man in the suit and tie. He rolled his eyes and started walking again. The woman turned and watched the John silently as he walked down the block and turned the corner. Only after he was gone did she turn back to Tina. "Honey," she said, "you stay away from that man. He is bad news. Serious bad news." "Oh, yeah?" said Tina, unsure what to say. Then after a short pause, "Thanks." "No problem, sweetie. Have I seen you out here before?"
"I don't know," Tina said. "I'm not out here very often."
She looked Tina up and down, appraising her.
"You're cute," she said when she was done. "That's good, but sometimes it attracts the wrong kind of guy. You got someone watching your back?"
Tina wondered for a second if she was going to get mugged if she said no. Yet this woman seemed genuinely concerned.
"Not really."
"Oh, honey," she said with the tone of a disapproving grandmother. She sat down on the curb next to where Tina was standing, her long legs splayed.
"It's too dangerous out here. You gotta have someone who'll keep an eye out for you."
Deciding it was rude to stand, Tina sat next to her. She continued,
"I know you probably don't think you'll be doing this for long, but honey," she patted Tina on the knee, "the money's so damn good, isn't it? It's hard not to come back. I mean, if you're smart with your money, and you don't have any leeches taking it all, you only have to work a few hours to set you up for the night. How great is that? I mean, once you figure out how not to get beaten or killed, it's a pretty good gig."
Tina didn't know what to say. It didn't seem like easy money to her, but she didn't want to piss off this woman.
"I haven't been doing it very long," Tina said.
Tina looked at the woman's face. The woman wasn't pretty. She looked kind of old and had bad teeth. Tina imagined that this woman didn't get marriage proposals like Tina sometimes did. Her Johns were probably just guys who wanted to get their rocks off as quickly as possible and then leave. And to Tina, it seemed like that would be better.
"It's not for everyone," the woman continued. "You can't be the kind of person who takes things personally. You can't be all," she put on an airy, unsure voice. "What does it make me that I do these things?"
"It's just, you know," she looked at the windows and fire escapes of the buildings across the street. She frowned with half of her mouth.
"Some guys just want to have some fun, and they have money, and you need money, so you're going to help them out."
"Yeah, some guys want to humiliate you or hurt you, so figure out who those guys are, and either tell them to fuck off, or charge them 10 times as much. That's got to be your attitude, you know? It's like any job. On a good day, you have fun doing your work, but the rest of the time, you're doing what you got to do. That's got to be your attitude, or being out here will drive you crazy. You ever see something like this?" She nodded at her left bicep. She grabbed the skin with her right hand and yanked hard. It looked to Tina like a big layer of skin tore right off. As Tina watched, dumbstruck, the skin curled in the woman's hand into a tight tube that came to a point at the end. She showed it to Tina.
"Touch it," she said.
Tina carefully touched the tube with the tip of her finger. The end felt sharp, and the material felt stiff.
"What is this?" Tina asked with awe in her voice.
"Skin knife. Cost me an arm and a leg, but it's worth it. You can look totally butt-ass naked, but when someone starts messing with you, wham, you got a knife."
"That is so fucking awesome," Tina said. "Where do you get them?"
"I know a guy who makes them. I could hook you up. You gotta get it matched to your skin color, see? And if you get a tan, you gotta get it re-dyed. I got mine for $250. Tina frowned, disappointed.
"You can afford it. Just be smart with your money. Don't spend it all on stupid shit like drugs and booze. Like, for every $2 you get, put one away and only spend it on shit you really need, like food or medicine or one of these. Cute girl like you, you can make that money in no time. Hell, hook yourself up with an escort service. That's where the real money is."
She looked at Tina's face again. "When you turn 18, anyway." They sat in silence for a bit. Then Tina asked, "So you really like what you do? I mean, you don't wish you'd done something else?"
"I don't have the patience to get all educated and work in an office. So for me, yeah, I feel like this is a pretty good job for me."
"Because I was talking to the sexologist..." "Oh, don't get me started on those fuckers. Most of them are spoiled rich bitches who have some theory about how people are supposed to live, and because of it they think they can tell us what to do with our lives. And the only ones worse than that are the sexologists who used to do sex work. And because they were messed up in the head when they got here, and because they let shit get to them and became miserable and fucked up, they think we're all like that. That's bullshit, man. Fucking bullshit." She was moving her arms with her speech, and now she started tapping hard on her chest repeatedly. "I like fucking. I don't need to be in love with someone to enjoy fucking them. I like making easy money. I know how to take care of myself. I can take a drink or some pills every once in a while without it becoming my whole life. If work in the streets doesn't work for them, they don't have to do it, but don't tell me how to live my life."
"Hey, Tina!"
called a voice from the windows above them. Both Tina and the woman sitting next to her turned their heads and looked up. A multiracial girl with an eye patch had her head stuck out an open third-story window.
What?
The woman next to Tina yelled back.
They're awake and they want more!
She smiled a broad smile.
More? Those animals!
She laughed with mock surprise. She got up and looked like she was about to give her goodbyes to Tina. Tina interrupted her.
Your name's Tina?
Yeah.
My name's Tina, too.
The woman grinned at Tina. Her teeth were crooked.
I guess we'll call you Cute Tina and me Tough Tina.
I'd rather be Tough Tina, Tina said. The woman laughed.
Actually, they call me Blade Queen, Tina added.
Blade Queen?
The woman asked, then to herself.
Blade Queen. Blade Queen. I've heard that before. Yeah, I have. You're like some serious well-known badass.
Well, Tina said, looking down.
No shit. Here you were giving me this whole innocent girl act, and you're some famous badass. Come on, Tina,
whined the woman with the eye patch from the window.
I'll be right there,
she said, heading towards the doorway. She stopped, one hand on the doorway, her nails long and brightly painted.
I'll see you around, Blade Queen.
Tina wondered if the woman could have actually heard of her. She doubted it. She was probably either thinking of someone else or pretending to have heard of Tina just to make her feel good. Either way, Tina couldn't help smiling. A few minutes later, a little middle-aged guy with thick glasses came up to her.
What's your name?
He said in a friendly voice, looking to the right of Tina's face while he spoke so that Tina wasn't entirely sure he was talking to her and not some hallucination.
Tina? Tina, I've got a hotel room near here. You want to go back there with me?
He talked quickly, with a little inflection in his voice. A bit like the big homeless guy who had pushed Tina down, but less angry.
What do you want? I want to lick your pussy, and then I want to, you know, have sex with you.
He seemed embarrassed. $50, Tina said.
Oh, he sounded disappointed. No, sorry, I can't do that. How about 30?
Okay, Tina said. She followed him back to the hotel room. It was a tiny room, but clean, with a relatively new carpet. He didn't get to business right away. He wanted to talk. He asked her a bunch of questions about herself, where she was from, where she lived, what she did for fun. Tina didn't want to tell him anything personal, so she made up answers at random. He talked a little bit about himself, telling her that he was legally blind and on disability and had lived in the city all his life. Tina guessed the guy didn't have any friends or family. Prostitutes were probably the only people he ever talked to. Finally, they got around to the sex. He annoyed her with his tongue, groping around like he didn't know what he was looking for, until she pretended to have an orgasm. Then he crawled on top of her and came in a few seconds.
You don't have to go right away, he said, lying back and staring at the ceiling.
Is it all right if I take a shower? She asked. He said it was. She took all her stuff into the bathroom with her and locked the door. She showered quickly, and when she got out, he was gone. There were no towels, so Tina had to dry off with the yellow blanket that was on top of the bed. On the bed there was a barely legible note, scribbled on a page from the hotel notepad, reading,
Going to get food. Be back soon.
Tina searched the room. The drawers were empty except for a green Bible. He hadn't left any stuff there, so the only thing she could steal were things belonging to the hotel. She unscrewed the light bulb from the lamp and wrapped it up carefully in the blanket from the bed. She also took the pen and notepad, both of which had the hotel's name on it. She decided to wait for the guy to come back with food. Bored, she took out the Bible she had found earlier. It was densely packed with text, but there was some white space at the top and bottom of each page. She opened to a random page and started writing whatever came into her head.
I am the Blade Queen, she wrote. I have 6 knives. I keep them in my heart. The pain keeps me alive. The pain keeps me from going to sleep and waking up from this dream that is life. I live in an old used condom at the bottom of a gutter. I sleep on a bed of dried cum. 10 virgin girls weep night and day because I will not love them. If I tried to love, my heart would squirt poison. The poison would eat away their faces, turn them into blind monsters. Every day the men in black have a funeral for me. They are cold and silent as they lower me into the earth. But the earth doesn't want me, won't let me sleep in it. So I wander the streets alone. Only the pain of the knives in my heart keep me company. She looked at what she had written and decided it sucked, so she tried to cross it out. Then she went through the book, circling names at random and drawing lines from the names to the margins. At the end of the line, she wrote words like whore, bitch, slut, asshole, coward, pervert, and freak. The little old guy came back with a bag that had fries and hamburgers and 2 large sodas. Tina ate quickly, not talking to him. When she left, he said, bye, Tina! But she didn't say bye back. She didn't have anything against him, but she just couldn't make herself pretend she liked him, not when he was no longer paying her to. As she walked, she decided she felt sorry for the guy. He seemed so awkward, so openly needy. She felt embarrassed for him, especially after his failed attempts to pleasure her. Most of the guys she had sex with for money had no illusions that she was going to enjoy it at all. She would do the whole, oh yeah, oh baby, thing, but she knew they didn't believe it for a second. They knew it was for their benefit, an act she was putting on in order to play the part, and they liked it that way. They liked having her play the part, like she was their own little VR sim they could program to put on an act. This guy, however, seemed to think he was really pleasing her. It was like he thought they had a real relationship and were having a real sexual encounter. Except how could he not know that she was only there because she was paying him? Tina didn't want to have sex with any more guys that night. She was already in a shitty mood, and she was sure the next guy she met wouldn't be so nice. She decided to go up to Harlem, see if she could get a hold of Scrap, see if he would give her any money. The subway was crowded, and she walked between cars, asking people if they wanted to buy the blanket, the light bulb, or the stationery and pen. A tall young man dressed all in black laughed at Tina.
"What's so funny?" Tina asked. "Just a couple minutes ago there was a real scrounger in here," he said, "selling useful stuff like shivs, books, barbed wire snips, stuff like that. And then you come in here with your light bulb in your," he giggled, "sheet. What is that on your sheet, huh? A cum stain?"
Angrily, Tina threw her stolen goods on the floor. The light bulb smashed. Tina stomped away and went to a different car. She sat down next to an old, sleeping homeless guy who stank of urine. She stared past him out the window of the subway car, watching the occasional blue light speed past.
"I hate my life," she said to him quietly. "I hate being a joke, or being pitied, or playing a part in some pervert's fuck fantasy. I miss Maricel. She made me feel like someone cared about me without expecting something in return. I don't think I'm going to find out what happened to her. I think she's dead. This city sucks, you know. Sometimes I think about just going back home."
"What?"
the homeless man said groggily.
"Nothing. I wasn't talking to you," Tina said.
Scrap wasn't at his apartment, so Tina went to the math attic bar. He was there, hanging out with his friends.
"Buy me a drink," Tina said.
He bought her a drink, but instead of going outside to smoke with her, he continued talking to his friends.
"Hey," Tina said, trying to pull him away from his friends. "I want to talk to you."
He followed her into a corner.
"I'm totally fucked on rent. I've been running around all day trying to get enough money, but I'm like 30 bucks short. Can you help me out?"
"I don't think I ought to be paying your rent, Tina."
"Well, just loan me the money then," she said. "I promise I'll get it back to you soon."
"I don't think that's such a good idea either."
"Come on, don't act like this is my fault. I gave the rent money to my friend and she disappeared. It's not like I'm being lazy or irresponsible or anything like that."
"How about a job? Do you want a job?"
Yeah, I mean, if I could get one."
Scrap led her back into the bar and motioned to the bartender. It was the bald woman with the lightning tattoos on her head. Scrap leaned over the bar so she could hear him.
"This is Tina," he said loudly. "She's a teenage runaway escaping from an abusive family, and she needs to make 30 bucks tonight to make her rent. Can you help her out?"
Tina turned red with anger and embarrassment. She hated having her business shouted out to complete strangers. The woman looked over at Tina and said, "Do you scrub toilets?"
"Yeah,"
Tina said. The bartender went under the bar and pulled out an old can of cleanser and an old rag. "If you clean both bathrooms, and I mean the walls, floors, sinks, toilets, every inch, I'll give you 30 bucks." Tina took the cleanser and the rag. She went into the bathrooms and started scrubbing. She ignored the patrons as they came in to use the bathroom. It was tiring work, and it hurt her knees, but she had done a lot worse for 30 bucks. It was boring, but she read the graffiti as she scrubbed it into black smudges. Some of the graffiti was funny, some of it was dirty, a lot of it was long mathematical equations that meant nothing to her. One piece of graffiti that Tina liked read, "Fear not the path of truth for the people walking on it," Arabic proverb. The men sometimes gave her funny looks when they came into the restroom and she was there, but she ignored them and they didn't do or say anything to her. It took Tina about 4 hours to get done. She went and got the bartender. The bartender went and inspected both bathrooms herself. She handed Tina the cash.
"If you want to come back in a month," she said, "I might let you do it again."
Tina thanked the woman half-heartedly. She looked around for Scrap, but he wasn't around. She guessed that this was his way of saying he didn't want to hang out with her anymore. Maybe after he'd fucked her a few times he got tired of her. Maybe, having rebelled from a family of bored VR addicts, he thought he wanted a wild street girl with street girl-type problems, but then he realized he wasn't up for it. Or maybe he had realized she didn't really like him and was only hanging out with him because he bought her stuff. Tina walked to the subway, her feet aching. Except for asking people if she could squeeze through the turnstile with them, she didn't talk to anyone on the way back. She wanted a cigarette, but she didn't have any and didn't feel like begging for one. It was dark as she walked home, the working streetlights giving everything a yellowish tinge. There was the smell of something acrid in the air, something that tickled her throat. Probably some pollution from one of the factories uptown being blown down here. Tabitha and Joe were in the hotel room when Tina got back. Tabitha was on the couch and Joe was on the bed, looking sweaty and sick.
"Did you get enough money?"
Joe moaned.
"I think so," said Tina. "Where's Manny?"
"Not back yet."
Tina pulled her money with the few bucks Tabitha had managed to get. It wasn't enough, but if Manny came back with his 8 bucks, and if he had made at least 2 bucks more, they would have enough money. So they waited. Joe complained about how bad he felt. Tina was bored. She wanted to talk to someone, but Joe was too sick, and she hated Tabitha. Eventually, Tabitha brought out a tiny tube of glue that was almost squeezed dry. Joe didn't want any, so Tina and Tabitha took turns huffing it.
Tina knew sniffing glue would kill her brain cells, eventually make her stupid, and so she tried not to do it very often. Tina only did enough to give her a minor buzz. Tina fell asleep on the floor. She woke up after an hour. The lights were all still on, and Manny was still gone. Tabitha was asleep on the couch. Tina crawled over to the couch and prodded Tabitha, saying, "Get off! I'm sleeping there." Tabitha woke up quickly. "This isn't your couch! Leave me alone!" "I got $80 for rent tonight," Tina said, trying to sound calm. "And you got two, so let me sleep on the fucking couch." "Fine," Tabitha said, pushing past Tina and lying down on the pile of clothes on the floor. "Bitch." Tina crawled onto the couch and went to sleep. A few hours later, Manny came in, waking Tina up. He was slightly drunk. Tina demanded the money, but all he had was $8. "What the fuck?" Tina whispered. "He didn't make any money? What about that guy I saw you with? He didn't give you any money at all?" "Look, I thought I was going to get some money, but I didn't, okay? Even Tabitha made $2, and she was asleep half the time. Give me a break, okay?" She noticed he smelled like cologne. She had never known him to wear any kind of perfume. "Well, we're $2 short," she said, pushing the money into his hands. "You deal with it." Tina went back to her couch and tried to sleep. She could hear Manny rummaging through their stuff. Tina heard Manny leave, turning the lights off as he went. Soon afterwards, Tina drifted off to sleep.